Let's look to the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Verse 3 is our scripture text. I want you to hold this verse in your thinking. Because of the savor of thy good ointments. Watch this. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Could we just think on that for a moment? Let it roll over in your mind. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. If the Lord would stand by me, I would like to try to preach tonight on there's just something about that name. The poet said, his name alone is more fragrant than the rose. It thrills every soul where'er its fragrance flows. Wouldn't it be sweet tonight if the good presence of the Holy Ghost would just blow through this place and that sweet name of Jesus would leave a fragrant smell in all of our hearts here tonight? Now, you're not going to be able to appreciate this dialogue that goes on here in Song of Solomon 1, verses 1 through 4, unless we have a perfect picture of who is saying what. Now, when you look at the Song of Solomon, you understand, of course, that this King Solomon was the most extravagant and most flamboyant king that ever reigned. Well, even unto this day, his wisdom is proverbial throughout all the world. It is synonymous with wisdom to say one has the wisdom of Solomon. But even not only in the Bible, in the historical books of the Bible, but in historical books concerning Jewish antiquity, we understand that Solomon was by far the wisest and the richest king that ever ruled. He had, if you will, the Midas touch. And it is said that the temple that he built, the splendor and the costliness and the magnificence of that temple that he built, it outrivaled all the other seven wonders of the world. He reigned in magnificence. He reigned in splendor and glory. And so great was his renown that ambassadors and princes and potentates and kings and rulers came from as far away as the land of Sheba just to hear his words. And the Bible said of the queen of Sheba that she left and she said, the half has not even been told me. So was his wealth and so was his wisdom. And so it seemed like that when he was at his prime, and it seemed like that when he was at the pinnacle of all of his wealth and wisdom, that he singularly enjoyed the blessings of God alone. However, there was one flaw in his armor. There was one chink, if you will, in his shield, and that was that Solomon loved strange women. But now when you begin to understand the message and the meaning of the Song of Solomon, you understand that of all the women that was in his harem, and of all the strange women that he loved, of all of those to whom he was married, there was one woman that he could not have. There was one woman that escaped his charm, and that was none other than the Shulamite shepherdess in this story. Now you understand that there are three principal characters in the Song of Solomon. And they are, of course, Solomon the king, and then the Shulamite shepherdess, and then also the shepherd. These were the three characters in this story. And in some, the story is much like this. A lovely little country girl who keeps her father's sheep somewhere out on the pastoral solitudes of Jerusalem, somewhere out on the realm of the kingdom. There is a Shulamite shepherdess girl. And she catches the eye of King Solomon, and he brings her into his harem. He has her brought to his palace. But however, even though the king has looked upon her with an roving and an appreciative eye, she refuses his charm because she has already been won, and she has already been betrothed to that shepherd that's out there that loves her. And she refuses to be won by all of the charm of King Solomon. And so actually this story is an allegory. The Shulamite shepherdess, the Shulamite woman here in the story, this young, virtuous Shulamite girl, she represents the church. She is betrothed to Christ. And then also she represents the individual Christian that is living in the world. That shepherd who she really loves, he has hid himself, but she has already been won to him. He, however, is absent now. His visits are from time to time, and occasionally he reveals himself to her in moments of communion. However, he has promised that ultimately he will come again and receive her to himself. Solomon then represents the world. Solomon is indicative. Solomon depicts the tempter. He is a picture of the world that would try to come between us and our beloved. You see, the enemy of our soul wants to use all the allurements of the world and the flesh to try to seduce us from our loyalty to Christ. And if you'll bear with me just a moment, I want to make sure that we understand this together. We have the Shulamite shepherdess. She represents the Christian. We have the King Solomon, who represents the world. And then we have the shepherd, who represents Christ. But the Solomon wants to come in between this shepherdess and her beloved. And so the Shulamite woman, this young Shulamite girl, she's tending the flock, and suddenly she is swept away and seized, and she's taken to Solomon's palace. And she is there imprisoned. She is very much alarmed. Here she is among all of these sophisticated and glamorous women who have been won by the charm and wealth of Solomon. But while she is there, they hear her talking to herself. While she is there, she is meditating and musing to herself. And this is what they hear her say. They hear her say, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine, because of the savor of thy good ointments. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee." See this? The king hath brought me into his chambers. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. So what is the picture there? It's very, very obvious. While she is captive, while she is being held by Solomon, how does she keep her heart upon her beloved? What does she do during this time of while Solomon is trying to win her and woo her? Here's what she does. The antidote to her fears, the antidote to those allurements, is she fills her heart with the thoughts of her beloved. And that's what the Song of Solomon is about a young shepherdess girl who Solomon the king is trying to win and lure away. I want you to understand, friend, if you've never seen it before, the champion of this story is not Solomon. The champion of this story is the shepherd, amen, that has won the heart of the shepherdess. You see, there is really no true parallel to say that Christ is like Solomon, none whatsoever. The only Old Testament character that wholly and truly and completely depicts the life of Christ is none other than Joseph. There are others that perhaps may have similarities, but then there come such gross dissimilarities that they pale and fall away. But Solomon is not a type of Christ in this story, but the shepherd is the type of Christ. Aren't you glad for Jesus Christ, the shepherd of our souls? Amen. That loved us. Amen. And gave himself for us. And though the world would try to win and woo and lure our hearts away, my heart has been won by the shepherd. And I refuse to allow anything that this world has to offer to lure me away from him. And so that's what this story is about. About a young lady whose heart is set upon her beloved to whom she is betrothed. But how will she keep her heart? How will she keep herself from being lured away by the charm and the wealth of Solomon? She keeps her thoughts upon her beloved. I was reading today and I come across an old poem that's probably well over 100 years old. Thoughts. Listen to this. Thoughts. The hammer thoughts that pound and shatter my peace. The rodent thoughts that gnaw and will not cease. The briar thoughts that pull and prick and scratch. The rover thoughts that I never can catch. The serpent thoughts that leave their lyres at night. The shadow thoughts that dim my new day's light. These are my thoughts. Oh, take them, Lord, I pray, out of my heart and cast them far away. And in their stead, give me those thoughts of thine, so crystal clear, so holy, so high, so fine. Then I shall grow by their pure grace enticed, worthy to think the lovely thoughts of Christ. That's what I want to do for just a few minutes here tonight, is to think on those lovely thoughts of Christ. For us to shut out all of the dizzy and the din, all the worry and everything of the outside, things that would, you know, befuddle our mind, things that would confuse our thoughts, if for just a little while we could come in here and think on those lovely thoughts of Christ. Hallelujah. You see, here's what she says of her beloved. She says of her beloved, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. One of the expositors says it this way, sweet is the odor of thine ointments. The sound of your name is like a fragrance to me. As she meditates on her beloved, she says of him, the very sound of your name is like a sweet fragrance to me. Perhaps you've heard someone's name mentioned, someone that is respected, someone that is honored, someone that is well thought of, and most instinctively someone will say, they're such a sweet person. Something about that word, amen, depicts that individual. That word is personified in the personality, in the disposition, and the character of that person. They're just a sweet-natured person. I want to tell you, there's none other name so sweet. There's none other name so lovely. There's none other name that brings calm. There's none other name that brings repose. There's none other name that brings rest to the troubled mind like the name of Jesus. And that's what this young Shulamite shepherd is saying. Your name to me is like a sweet fragrance. Your name to me is like the smell of a beautiful rose. Your name to me, amen, is like a calming breeze. Your name to me has a restful spirit about it. Did you come tonight and you're worried? You're tormented in your spirit. There's no peace in your heart. amen, this and that and the other. Amen, it's troubling your mind. Could I whisper a name to you tonight? Could I whisper a name to you tonight? Could I tell you of a name that can calm every troubled soul? Can I tell you a name tonight that would cool every fevered brow? Could I tell you a name tonight that would bring peace to every restless heart? Do you know that name? What a lovely name! The name of Jesus. That's the name that my thoughts rest upon. That's the name that my thoughts run to. That's the name that my lips speak when I'm in trouble, when I don't have time to get on my knees and pray a long prayer. I just whisper the name of Jesus, and His name is like ointment poured forth. I've talked to numbers of people as well as you. They didn't see that automobile coming until it was too close. They had time only to utter a name. No time to react. No time to try to do anything but just call the name of Jesus. You've been there when the phone rang. The news on the other end of the line forever changed your world. Things would always be different because of the news that you just heard. It's happened to me before, and instinctively, without even thinking, just spontaneously, welling up somewhere from the inmost of my bosom, there come a name. Hallelujah. There come a name. And when I spoke that name was like ointment poured forth. May I tell you tonight, there's a balm in Gilead. I said there's a healing ointment, and that is the name of Jesus. And if you'll just speak that name tonight, there's solace and there's security. Amen. And there's supply in that wonderful name. First of all, Thy name is as ointment. Let's think of the wonder of His presence. At His name, His presence comes to us. It comes as silently. It comes as swiftly as the fragrant perfume. It comes without announcement, but suddenly He's there. The wonder of His presence. The doors are closed. The windows are shut. The Bible said, amen, there the disciples were. They were in that secluded, secret, isolated place, all in fear of the Jews. But the Bible said Jesus appeared among them. I do not read where He knocked on the door. I do not read where He announced His presence. But suddenly He was there. Isn't it wonderful that He does that when I suspect Him the least? Amen. He comes to me when I need Him in my most desperate hour. His presence is suddenly there. Amen. That's the way He comes. He comes in a sweet, fragrant way. And suddenly His presence is so real. His presence is so realized. And that fragrance pervades the air. And it fills the room. And suddenly things are changed. Things are different now. Because the presence of the Lord is in this place. Because His name is as ointment poured forth. Hallelujah. Now there's an Old Testament picture here that goes all the way back to Exodus chapter 30. When you see this word ointment, ointment, it's not speaking of just any old cheap perfume here now. It's not speaking of something, amen, that somebody just conjured up. No siree. But in Exodus chapter 30, God gave unto Moses the prescribed ingredients for that ointment. And when you look there in Exodus 30, there were four principal ingredients to that ointment. And the principal spices of that ointment were, of course, perhaps you remember, they were myrrh, and they were cinnamon, and they were calamus and cassia. Myrrh, cinnamon, calamus, and cassia. Now, they serve two purposes. The myrrh and the cassia was for preservation and for healing.
Myrrh was a preservative spice. Cassia was a medicinal remedial spice. And then calamus and cinnamon, they were pleasant spices. They give a delicious odor and a sweet fragrance. Isn't it wonderful that everything God done, He done for a purpose? Now here in the Old Testament prescription for this ointment, there was myrrh and cassia for preservation. There were cinnamon and calamus to be pleasant to the smell. But this is not only the prescribed order for what goes into the ointment, but it was a picture of Christ. Christ Jesus came to the world that He might preserve. Christ Jesus come that He might heal. Christ Jesus come that He might be a delicious odor and a pleasant smell. Hallelujah! What a Savior! He comes to sick humanity and He brings the cure. He comes to keep us. Aren't you glad He can cure us and then He can keep us? Amen. And then He sweetens us. And then He delights us. And that's what the ointment was called to do. So you see the combination of the ointment. Hold that. The combination of the ointment. It had a purpose in that it would speak to us of Christ. I want to tell you, when I look at the ingredients, all the combination of that went into that ointment, it tells me that when my heart is broken, I know a cure. It's the name of Jesus. Amen. When I'm sad, I know a cure. It's the name of Jesus. He is as an ointment poured forth. The combination of the ointment, and it also went a hin of olive oil beaten. That was the ingredients of the ointment. And it was a holy anointing oil. And in the ingredients are the attributes and the character of Jesus Christ. For His name is as an ointment poured forth. Not only the combination of the ointment, but the consecration of those who were anointed. See here now, after Moses in Exodus 30 gives them the ingredients for the ointment, he said, you're to take this holy anointing oil, you're to take this ointment, and you are to anoint the tabernacle, you are to anoint the ark, you are to anoint the altar, and you are to anoint the vessels of the tabernacle. Everything was to be anointed. They were to be made holy unto the Lord. They were cleansed. Hallelujah. And then they were consecrated. Will you say amen? And after they had been cleansed and consecrated, then they were anointed. Do you understand that under God's law, no king could reign on the throne of Israel until he was first anointed with that holy ointment? No priest could officiate and do his priestly duties until he had first been consecrated by that holy anointing oil. I want to tell you, my friend, I love the Lord and you love the Lord, but there's a way we can love Him better, and that's when we get sanctified and His presence comes and anoints our life in a special way, and we're made holy unto God. We can worship, we can adore, we can love Him in a way like never before. All the world acknowledges that there's a God. They say they love the Lord, but they say it in a flippant, non-committed way. But oh, my friend, when we come into the house of God, if we, our person, our being, and every part of the service could get consecrated and anointed unto the Lord, what could God do for us? No wonder David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. He perhaps remembered when Samuel sent for him when he was keeping his father Jesse's flock. And Samuel said, I won't sit down until David gets here. And when David come to his father's house, Samuel took the horn of oil and he poured that holy anointing down upon David's head. And David, when he was despondent, when he was in distress, and he was fleeing from Saul, he said, I know what I need. I need some fresh oil. Hallelujah. How about you tonight? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the sweet presence of Jesus Christ as ointment poured forth would be poured out upon us in this service tonight? If the presence of the Lord would come by and anoint us in a fresh and a new way. That's what makes the difference, is when you and I, and the Bible goes on to say in Exodus chapter 30 of how that this holy ointment, this holy anointing oil, was to be never used for common purposes. It was to never be put upon the flesh of man, that which had not been consecrated, that which had not been set apart, was to never receive this holy ointment. May I say that God's not going to bless us as long as we're carnal. You may as well say amen. But when we get pure and when we get holy, amen, then the ointment will come. How will it come? When we begin to worship that lovely name, when we begin to adore, when we begin to lift up that lovely name, the name of Jesus. That's what the Holy Ghost comes to do. The Holy Ghost comes to testify of Him. That's what the Holy Ghost does, is lifts up that name. And when we begin to worship, when we begin to praise, the Bible said He inhabits the praises of Israel. The wonder of His presence, when that consecrated vessel, when that purified heart, amen, lifts up in praise to God, it's then that the ointment is poured forth and the presence of Jesus comes down in a real way. For where two or three are gathered together in My name, He says, there am I in the midst, and His presence is poured forth in the midst of us. Would somebody worship that lovely name? Would somebody praise that wonderful name? For His name is as ointment poured forth. Something about when we began to lift up that name, His anointing is poured. Hold that now. Let's look further. Because of the savor of Thy good ointments, Thy name is as ointment. We understand that now, but let's go a step further. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. This bespeaks of the work of His passion. For you see, He's not only ointment, but He's ointment poured. Poured. Psalm 22 is a messianic psalm. In that psalm, Psalm 22, it tells us of Christ hanging on the cross. In one of those verses, it said, all my bones stick out. He speaks concerning the bulls of Bashan have compassed me. But in Psalm 22 and verse 14, David says, by the word of the Lord, I am poured out like water. Amen. He foretells that Jesus Christ will be poured out. It was the fulfilling of Scripture when that spear thrust our Savior's side and blood and water run out. Great God of heaven. And then in Isaiah 53 and 12, and of course Isaiah 53, the whole chapter there, amen, speaks of Jesus. Amen. But the last verse there, it said that He poured His soul out even unto death. The work of His passion was that He come to be poured out. He literally emptied Himself. He literally gave all of Himself. He come as a vessel poured out. Great God of heaven. He poured Himself out like water. He poured Himself out like unto death. He gave His everything. He gave His all. He was ointment poured out. Amen.